Greetings, everybody, and welcome to another installment of Innovation Crush. It's me, Chris Denson, your gracious host, coming at you live. Well, not live, but, you know, you guys know what we're doing here. In case you're tuning in for the first time, shame on you. But if not, you guys may know that this show covers all things innovation, ideas, smart people doing smart things. And today, the buck does not stop. The man with the S on his hat, the super hat, Jamal Lane. Say hello.
What's up, everyone?
What's up, everyone? I said say hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, you're already a rebel.
There you go. Have to be.
Speaking of rebel, I know a little bit of work history about you.
Oh, okay.
But before we get into that, give me a little bit of a 101 on who Jamal is. How do you self-describe?
Jamal is pretty much a brand connector within the cultural lifestyle space. So I've always been lucky enough to work for brands that have had a vision to try to connect to lifestyle. So they've entrusted me to say, like, you're the bridge to get us there. So, you know, a lot of brands think they can just walk into the culture and then just kind of maybe throw a check or just say, hey, we're going to do this.
Right.
And it just doesn't come off right. So I seem to have an idea of, like, what makes sense. So when it does happen, it just feels like it's part of the culture.
Can you define the word culture? Because it's such a, like, ubiquitous, term.
I mean, I use it as, like, everything is culture. So, like, every genre kind of makes up culture. So it's just like everything is really kind of whatever is not necessarily vanilla, right? So, like, let's just say malls are vanilla. It's everything outside of that, right? If you're thinking retail. I have a good eye of trying to connect with everything outside of, like, a mall concept, maybe.
So you hate malls?
No, but I kind of like it because now I'm trying to, like, I kind of like and see the purpose of malls. Like, I think it's really important. So, like,
yeah.
I think that's what the beauty of culture is. It's kind of always kind of like it's just circular, right? So it's just like when it's too mass and it's too, like, it's like, cool, I don't need to touch it. I don't need to be over there.
Right.
Let's find the next thing.
Well, also, I mean, culture, at least, and we'll get into it, but, like, some of your work history just combines bringing people together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we are roughly the same age, but the mall was that spot, right?
Yeah,
like, that was the spot where everybody gathered.
Yeah.
Now it's a complex con, right? It's so the mall has kind of, the mentality hasn't changed, but the way it's expressed has. So tell us a little bit about your role at Sonos currently.
Yeah, so it is cultural marketing, and it's a global, like, North America play. So basically what that means is I handle kind of the entertainment, film and television, celebrity relations with an eye on connecting Sonos to that world. So we will always try to serve the creator within that world. And what that means is basically we're going to try to be useful to them. So, like, whatever idea they have, we need to look at it from our standpoint and say, does it check our boxes? But then also, what are we going to help them and what are we going to help provide to them?
Yeah.
Because if you're listening to this and you just think, like, oh, creators don't, you know, celebrities don't need anything, it's not necessarily true. If you're creating something, somehow you need an outlet.
Right.
And if we can provide that outlet, I'm going to try to figure out how to do it in the most authentic way.
So give me an example.
Yeah. So currently we have a space in LA called Sonos Home. And we basically, it's a space for creators to come and kind of showcase whatever it is that they're working on. So the space is a flexible penthouse space. That's where you listen to Sonos. That's where you get it. That's the best place to listen to Sonos is in your home. So we do activations out of there. So if you're a director, artist, we can do listening events. We can do Q&As. And it's just another venue that's intimate and small where you can connect to your consumer, your influencer, even media. And it's just a little bit different than a regular, like, hey, let's just do it at, I don't know, like a ballroom
right.
in a hotel.
You use the word useful earlier.
It's big.
It is. So, and it's not a word that comes up often in marketing.
Yeah.
Right? So kind of define that a little bit more,
yeah,
like the
sure.
utility of what you're creating from a marketing standpoint.
It's pretty simple. Like, what is it that you do? What is it that the other person that you're trying to connect does? And then how can you help them? Not like, hey, we have two ideas. Let's do a collaboration. Let's put the ideas together and cool. Like, if your idea doesn't help their idea, and if their idea doesn't help you,
right,
that collaboration is just going to kind of just get glossed over.
So what kind of stuff do you leave on the table? Like, I would imagine, like, somebody comes to the table, I mean, like, oh, we want to do a bus. A and you're like, no.
There's a lot. And that's just, like, if you get to know me, I don't really necessarily, like, take meetings just to take meetings or just do stuff to do stuff. Like, if we're going to take a meeting, we're going to probably try to figure out, like, if this is going to happen. And then from there, we're going to be like, we're going to do something. I don't know what it is, but we're definitely going to do something. And then the third part is we actually do it.
Right.
Because it's just a waste of time to, like, take a meeting and just, and then just toil in this kind of thing that just nothing ever comes to fruition. And I hate that. I can't work. Like, I just, my brain doesn't.
I see the jaded glaze coming over.
I can't do that. So it's just like, just be super honest up front and then just be like, hey, this is where we're at. Where are you at? Within those two circles, there's got to be something in the middle that kind of crosses and you're like, okay, cool. I see it.
Yeah.
This is probably where we're going to intersect. And, like, that's what you focus on.
Now, from obviously, you know, Sonos wants to get something out of these relationships, right? And if I'm Joe Celebrity and we do something in the vacuum, does that move the needle? Like, what is the ROI, I use quotation marks, that you're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, so with the, within, you know, kind of like influence relations and celebrity relations and that forth, it's like, that's like the 1 or 2%. So, like, you hope basically you do the activation and then the output, however you record it, whatever you do, you then disseminate that information out. So the idea, then it's like a peek behind the curtain, right? So that's why I think it's super important to figure out what it is that you do. So I don't know. Let's just take Sorry to Bother You. Super huge fan of that film. Saw it at Sundance. I had no idea how
you guys did something recently before.
Yeah, we did it last night. You know, like, but we did, like, I had no idea how I could help. But I'm sitting there watching the movie, and then, like, a month later, I just email someone at Annapurna. I was like, my friend Johnny, and I was just like, I don't know how I can help, but we have a space. Let me know what I can do to help. And all he said was, that's amazing. Thank you. I don't know either, but I will put you in contact with the team, and then you guys can see what happens. And then it just developed. And we ended up doing 6 different events, and we were just touching points. And it's just like, now it's going to evolve into something more, right? So that to me is like, that's a true partnership where I was just a fan watching this film. I was like, this is an amazing film.
But for me, that's like, that's where you called yourself the bridge, right? And I think it's hard for a lot of companies to trust somebody to just be like, ah, I like this. It's my taste, and I know it's right for what we want to accomplish. What was it in particular about that film that moved you to pick up the phone or send an email?
The way that the message was conveyed, it wasn't just like, here it is. Like, it was just such a mind trip. Not going to give anything away, but it's a mind
trip. It is a trippy movie.
So you're just like, this is amazing. It's trippy. Like, it's not what you immediately thought, right? So that's one. Two, just in the climate that we're in, you're like, this is super important, regardless of what you believe. This is just, it's relevant, right? So, and then it's just not like anything else out.
Right.
So those are 3 things that I was just like, I don't know if our consumer, all of them are going to love it, but I have a feeling that more than not, they are.
Yeah.
Right. And it doesn't mean they have to love the film, but they're just going to respect it. So I was like, we should try to do something if we can.
That's amazing. So with the perception thing, what are some of the, because every brand, every company goes through this, every personal brand goes through this, where you're like, this is what we are, and people assume you're something else.
For sure.
And you have to bridge that gap between perception and reality. Yeah. So what are some of the problems that Sonos is looking to solve, that in that perception window?
I mean, we just want to be like the best home entertainment system in, like, just like out. And we feel like we should be in the home. Like, when you have it and when you listen to it, you're like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. And that
super true.
Just, like you just,
yeah,
but you have to demo it to feel that, right? So, like, that's our biggest thing, is like just getting more people to know about it.
Is part of that because most of us walk around with earbuds in, and like when you think about sound quality and you're at home, is like.
Well, I mean, everyone is just like used to like their iPad, you know, either their iPad speakers or computer speakers. If you don't spend a lot of money on your headphones, you're just used to like, okay, cool. And where we're coming at it is you as an artist, you've put your heart and soul into this album, into this movie. You've obviously thought about sound and you've obviously like, you want it to sound a certain way. So we feel like, oh, it should sound the way that you made it. So that's all we're trying to solve that. Like, you should be listening better as like, let's just take TVs. As they get flatter, which is cool.
Right.
It's only obvious that the sound is not going to sound as great. Right. Like, it's just, I mean, it's just physics. Like, it's just not going to sound as great. So we just feel like we're a great solution.
And then I would imagine in that arena, right? Like, there's also there's an emotional connection to sound,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
Whether it's the bass that moves you or mm-hmm. rhythm, and you don't always get that in other systems or other ways of listening.
Yeah.
How much focus is there on sort of driving that emotional connection to,
it's always
sonicness.
Yeah. That's like 100%. 'Cause like even taking it out of the Sonos context, like, when you listen to an album for the first time, like a specific album, like that sits with you, right? Like, think about the albums that you would go to the music store growing up and like look at the menu board and be like, oh, that's the one,
mm-hmm.
right? And then think about when you got it, what you did. So music has that connection. Film has that connection. Like, they're things that have that connection. So it's just a matter of like, we feel like Sonos can be that bridge to help you kind of not relive it, but like continue to enjoy it. Because as the internet gets bigger and it's like the sonic internet, like whatever you're consuming has sound. So like that should be good sound.
Yeah.
It's really simple. But when you talk about it, you're just like, you can go off in tangents, but it's like pretty simple. Like, we just want people to have good sound.
This was a gross oversight too. Like, just, you know.
I mean, 100%. Like, so it's just like, we're just trying to solve something that we see. And I don't know. I've just been a huge fan of Sonos even before I started working. I just believe in it. I just believe in the ease of it. Like, it's just simple.
Switching gears a little bit. I will say that I had a little pressure today to show up with some clean sneakers on.
Oh, okay.
These are kind of dirty, but they're some white Air Maxes, 90s.
Mean, you wear them.
I do wear them. That is true. Wear them well is a whole other thing. you got two pairs of clean sneaks 2 days in a row. But so in your previous life, that's you lived in shoes.
Yeah,
lived in shoes. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I was fortunate enough to work at Adidas, Converse, and Nike. Doing kind of pretty much the same thing, kind of like influencer relations, like a lack, like just kind of like culture marketing. It was good. It was great. It was, you know, it was really interesting to see kind of that buzz of like sneakerheads, like really coming to the forefront while at Nike and just being like on the forefront of like creating really cool marketing campaigns and then executing them within the market, here in Los Angeles, and just kind of seeing like kids getting really excited. Like, that's, at the end of the day, that's really exciting to me. Like, I'm not that jaded. Like, what we do and what we put out is for the consumer, right? And that's fun to see that the consumer is like latching onto it. What got hard for me was sneakers. It's just like 365 days. Like, it's a lot.
Right.
So it's just like, it just became like, it's a lot of drops. Like, I don't have that many ideas for a full year, like continuous.
What excited really, you at the beginning of it, right? Because I think at some point there's a real kinetic energy.
Yeah, you're just in it. You're just doing it. You're just in it, and it's just like, this is amazing. But then you get to, I don't know if I necessarily ran out of ideas, but it just felt like, man, I need a break. Like, you just need to go off and just kind of like do something else, because I just felt like my idea, I didn't want to, I'm really big on not reskinning.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that.
That's the worst kind of innovation.
But some people do it really well. Like, I don't necessarily think you need to always reinvent the wheel, but my brain doesn't work like that. So like, some people do it really, really well. Like some people can take that and then flip it just a little bit, but you're like, at the core, it's still the same idea, but I can't do that for some reason.
And I'm the same way. Like, it's like, I might tweak something, but I almost want to start from scratch every time.
Kind of.
And when there's volume.
Correct.
I'm just my own personal question, because I live very close to Undefeated and 5-4. And every so often there's a line around the block.
It's amazing.
And it's a part of culture that psychologically I don't understand. I get it. Like as far as like, oh, the new thing is coming out. Let's go get it. But what did you learn about sneaker culture that just made it such a cultural frenzy?
I don't know if I learned anything. It was just like, they just really want to soak it up. Like, we do marketing, we do culture marketing because of this, right? So that's why it's exciting. It's like, there are people that actually are into this. So it's like, awesome.
Yeah.
Let's continue to give them more stories. Like, that to me is exciting. Like, I'm not mad about it. Like, they actually are like, oh, we get it. We love it. So I don't know. I'm like kind of the worst person to talk about it. Like, cause there's all, the gray market and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that stuff doesn't bother me. Like, the market is what the market is.
Yeah.
Right. So like, if you have shoe A, right, you go home, you buy it, and then you put it on eBay, like the market will dictate how much it's going to go for. I'm not mad at that. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So my job is to like help craft that story and help get it across to you to make you get up, get out of bed.
Yeah.
Get off the internet, get off your phone, and go line up. That's a lot. Especially now, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So if you're able to do that, more power to you.
LA is a really good cultural melting pot.
For sure.
And I think sometimes people synonymize, is that a word? Synonymize? Yeah. It is now.
Okay.
Sniglets. Taking it back to summer
camp.
There we go. I guess most people synonymize it with black, right? Which is obviously an error.
For sure.
But is there a method that you go about, undoing that false stigma, I guess? Or is it black?
No, I try not to think like, so here, this is, here we go. We're getting in.
All right.
So me and my friends, we talk about this all the time. Like, as a black person in corporate America, you kind of, and this is not for me at Sonos or wherever, this is just kind of like in general, like you are sometimes in meetings and you're the only black person in that meeting and you get deferred to for like cultural stuff. And you can just tell where the meeting's going. And you're just like, oh man.
So like, your name's Jamal too. So
yes, we got to figure. Like, so when you're trying to think of like marketing campaigns and just trying to like figure out what you're gonna do, you like just try not to be like that. Just because it's always there.
Yeah.
Like it's always behind you. It's always there. So all we try to do is, I don't know, I'm just really big on, if you're in the community and you're like specifically talking about a certain thing, you have more power to say what will work.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sitting up here or kind of off in a different market and you're talking about, hey, this is what's going to work in LA, it's kind of like, you're not there. So you don't know.
Yeah.
Right. So that's kind of where we kind of like to draw that line when we're kind of conceptualizing this stuff. So we try not to think in like multicultural, like, hey, let's touch the multicultural race. It's just like,
Well, it kind of, the reason I ask that, because I think about this, as we become more and more of a multi-hyphenate, just society, like you might like equestrian and golf and sneakers, where before those three things you didn't find that in one person.
Yeah.
Do you find that with the sort of multi-hyphenation that the messaging and experiences have to be a little bit more different or adjusted?
No, I think actually it's actually better. And I think that's what the internet has brought us, social media, the connection of you're A and you're like, oh, you're into equestrian? Oh, cool. Like, and then someone can reach out to you, right? Like an equestrian, like that stable horse will like reach out to you and be like, and then people start to see and be like, you know what? I kind of was into that. I didn't want to say it, but now I'm going to say it because there's someone I look up to.
It's permission. It's permission and acknowledgement.
Exactly. So instead of like people doing it off like in the corner with like two or three friends, now there's like people tuning in that can actually and be like, you know what? I feel empowered to go do that.
Yeah.
So that's why I feel that's why that's kind of important, if that answers your question. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? So that's how I look at it, is like it's allowing, you're pretty much giving permission to be like, no, you like, you can be into this too.
Yeah. So when Sonos was going to do their horse commercial?
I don't know.
The new horseback riding speaker.
The new horseback riding speaker. I don't know. Probably get fired for that.
I don't think you can get fired. You're unfireable. You seem like the other.
Okay.
So, I love that you made the switch, right? So what did that feel like, yeah, right? To finally like breathe, spread your wings, move into a new space.
Yeah.
And how did that affect your work?
It was awesome. I knew, so I did a little stint at Microsoft. So
you worked on Zune.
On Zune, the Zune player. RIP. So I did that for 4 years, and Microsoft was cool. It's tough. Like, it was definitely a learning experience. That was like as corporate as you can get, and I learned a lot. So I knew that I wanted to somehow get back into tech, consumer product, but I didn't know what. But I've had Sonos in my house, and I was just like, if the stars align, like maybe that's the company I want to go to. And then, as you know it, like a bunch of people from Converse went over there, and then I got a call, and it was just like, wow, this is going to happen, you know? And it was pretty awesome, because the team that we have internally, we've all worked together before, and it's just like a pretty it's a pretty awesome team. We get it. We all get each other. We can just like finish each other's thoughts. We can take their ideas and just be like, oh, what about tweak it? Like, no one has like, no one's like, oh my God, they're out to get me kind of thing.
Right.
Like, there's no, like, we all know each other's personalities.
There's trust and there's chemistry.
Yeah, so you kind of like, all right, cool, I already know that personality, right?
Right.
So there's no get to know you kind of period.
Do you think that sometimes, because you talked about this earlier, is like the homogenization of ideas? Like,
yeah.
Do you think sometimes switching the team helps, or is it good to have like those same people that you build with?
That's a great. I go back and forth on that. So there's some companies that believe in switching out and doing stretch assignments where they'll move you to a different organization. Part of me feels like if you're really good at doing what you're doing, I would feel like, man, if I moved you out into another org in the company and then someone else came in, that thing is going to suffer for a little bit,
right,
until that person is up to speed. And that, to me, I guess I can't see it.
Like, yeah.
I can't get on board with it, but I get it, because you want to grow as the person. So that's why I'm not a person that calls the shots.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't think I can't make that call. Like, I don't know.
I mean, you say the word stretch, right? I think it's good for people to go and get some new perspectives.
Yes.
Or just learn.
Yeah.
You know, like I used to run an innovation team at a media agency. Mm-hmm. By design, I never hired anybody that worked at a media agency,
yep,
right? Until one time I did, and I had, at least in this small team, I had somebody who represented the world that we sat in,
yeah,
but also could speak our language. So, you know, and yeah, it was a stretch for him, because mm-hmm, like, yeah, like, let's do a media plan.
Yeah.
Yay. But now we're like talking about augmented reality and, sure, you know, Daybreaker dance part. Like, we're just going like off the rails in terms of what it means to be a media agency. So that idea that somebody can leave and come back, mm-hmm, a prodigal son, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't have a question there.
I struggle with it all the time. So I don't know. Like, I go back and forth on it. Like, I think it's cool. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, but I definitely believe that every person should have the chance to grow and kind of hone themselves and learn a better understanding of the business.
Yeah.
But then, like, their thing that they're really good at, like...
Well, there's always your superpower, right?
Like,
and that's
like,
the thing.
What happens to that? Like, dang, you know, because that person transfers over and then the next person comes in. that's where I'm just like, oh man, like we still got to be operating at like 100%.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's not going to operate
it's
at 100%.
Fixing the train while it's moving or whatever.
You know what I mean? So,
bad analogy is. So I walk into a Jamal Lane event experience, yeah. You know, what kind of, I guess, emotional thing are you trying to invoke in a person walks into a space?
A, first thing should be like, when I get there, I should understand why I'm there. So whatever the event title is or whatever the brand is that it, that we're doing this thing for, you immediately know why you're there. That's A. B is the experience within, like, am I comfortable? Like, is the room temperature, like, right? Like, is the food presentation right? Is, are all the little things that I see right?
Yeah.
Right. So that's two. And then three is the people that you're in the room. So I am a big proponent on not inviting the same people to every event. So I don't necessarily believe in lists. Like, oh yeah, we have a house list that everyone, every event, boom, gets.
Right.
Like, I want you to be a little uncomfortable and come to an event where you don't necessarily know everyone. You have your plus one, but you don't know anyone else in the room. And then by the end of the night, you have like 30 new friends, 50 new friends.
Yeah.
And people that you can connect with and build with. I just think it makes for a better event. And then you don't get sick of the space, right? Because like...
You as you.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You just don't get sick of the event space that you've been to,
right,
300 times. Like, I don't know. Like, you shouldn't... Like, it should just be like different folks. So...
So that's interesting, because it's almost like if you keep it fresh for you...
Yeah.
Then it's automatically kind of refreshed for the people that 100%. Are visiting.
Yeah, because you are catering to that specific event. So,
right.
Like, whatever the, whether it's a film event, TV event, music event, they're different folks, right? So, like, we shouldn't have one list that, like, gets to see all that at the same time. Like, yeah. It should be the different folks.
This right? is my 10th Sonos event.
Like, I don't want, I don't.
Get your card punched.
Like, that's just not how my brain works.
You could do a punch card.
You could.
Sonos, like, punch card, horseback
cool.
ride.
I think some people, like, I think that's cool, but I think it's like we're also missing. Especially when a space is small.
Right.
It's one thing if the space is like 2,000, 5,000, you know, person venue. You can kind of have the same person come through. It's fine because you can get new people through too as well. But if your space is like 60 person, 100 person, you should, like, you're missing all these other people if you have the same 60 people.
Well, also, I think there's some science in the sort of, like I said, having new friends, or like, yeah. there you create a different kind of use or value. Yeah. Like you mentioned usefulness earlier. There's a different value, you know, that was given to me on behalf of brand X.
Right.
Right. You know, and I would imagine that's by design.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you also said another word which gets thrown around a lot, authenticity.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It just means like what we're trying to communicate. It's just, that's the reality of the communication. Like, that's the reality of what we're trying to say. Like, it's not made up, it's not fake, it's not like, oh, contrived. Like, it's literally, if that is that, we're going to communicate that as that, right? If that makes sense. I'm not trying to be cryptic. It's just.
Yeah. It's like marketing speak versus, you know, or even PR-able things versus like what's real.
Yeah. Like, it's just like when I'm thinking about it in an experiential world, like, I just want you to come in and be like, oh, I understand. Amazing. Like, that's literally what I want you to say. Like, I don't need you to be like, well, I kind of get, like, no, there's no like gray area with this. Like, when you walk in, you have to understand, you should be able to understand,
yeah,
like, why you're there. And if you can't, then that means I'm not doing my job.
What did little JL want to do when he grew up? He grew up.
I wanted to be a professional soccer player. That went downhill pretty quick. So college,
how quickly did it go downhill?
Like, I didn't even play college. Like, I literally, what happened, got there my first year, was like, I'm going to take a year off just to kind of... I went to a really small private school in Brooklyn. So I was like going to a college. Like, I was like, it was a little bit bigger. So I was just like, you know what? I want to get my feet under me first year, maybe take it off, not play soccer. But second year, we'll play. Second year came around, I was like, kind of like this college life, kind of like drinking on the weekends. Like, it's just, I don't know, with sports.
You got caught up.
There was a big commitment, big commitment with sports that I just was not, I couldn't do it. So I just went intramurals, and it was the most amazing thing ever. Like, playing intramurals and just, I mean, we were still drinking, so it was pretty awesome.
You know what's interesting? Maybe you're a person that doesn't like construct.
Yeah.
Right, because it takes a lot. And you know, when we were talking yesterday, you mentioned a couple things about, like, for instance, with Sonos, it's you here in Los Angeles, right? Yep. And I think even with the other brands that you mentioned, you know, the Converses and the Adidas, like it's you. You kind of get to play by your own rules, and party on the weekends.
I'm used to.
You know. How does your personality just play out in your day-to-day?
I'm pretty mellow. I'm pretty, like, just kind of even. So I never kind of get too high or too low. So I think you need that when you're kind of building relationships, because I hear the most random ideas, and a lot of them are like, oh, my God, they're amazing. But if I would share those internally, I think everyone would get way too excited, because I kind of know, like, some of them are going to flame out. So there would be a lot of, like, this highs and lows, and I just kind of, I'm pretty chill as it is, so I just know, like, what to kind of drip out, what to keep to myself, until it gets to a point where it's like, oh, okay, this is real.
Yeah,
you know. So I think I've done a really good job about that. I think that's probably my best trait to date, just because the amount of stuff that I hear that I could just say, like, hey, we're gonna go do this, like, I, none of it would happen.
Well, especially, I mean, when you say culture, you know, and entertainment marketing, you're dealing with a lot of celebrities. So the minute a name pops up in an email, you know, people are like, oh, now we have to go. Like, the frenzy is real. Yeah, and I'm kind of the same way. Like, I get excited and I tell myself to shut up. And then, because I know there's still a lot more work and just,
there's a lot.
Is this going to happen or not?
Then you have to get to, like, from A to Z, you have to get to, like, H before you can kind of be like, oh, okay, this is probably going to happen.
Because what I find is there's also a lot of emotional burnout for people, because it's like there's so many almost. Like, for every case study you can tell me right now, I'm sure there's, like, 50 to 100 things that are dead on the vine.
Yeah.
And so, you know, kudos to you, just, like, emotional stability.
I try. Like, literally, like, I would be a wreck if I didn't. I just think it's super important. Like, in anything that you do, is to try to just stay even keeled. Like, it helps.
This is not a trick question.
Okay.
But does influencer marketing work?
I mean, I sure hope so. But I think it's different. So, like, my friend had told me to stop using influencer, and I'm trying to.
Stop using the word influencer.
Yeah, it's just like there's two different types now of influencer marketing. Like, when you think influencer marketing, you think, like, oh, the Instagram influence, social influencer. That's kind of not what I'm concerned with.
I have a ton
of
bathroom selfies on Instagram, by the way.
Do your thing.
So okay. I'm influencing bathrooms.
I don't know what that's influencing, but okay. but I'm trying to stay away from that. Like, I've never really been on that side. When we say, like, influencer marketing, we're just thinking about there are key people within this world that are doing really great stuff that shepherd consumers and kind of dictate, like, what it is that they need. So I'll use an example. Like, Chris Gibbs from Union is dear friend, great guy. He's been doing it for a really long time, and he kind of, like, shepherds folks into, like, looking better. You know, like, he's been doing it for a really long time, and I think it's our job to help Chris and people like Chris to tell those stories. Like, at the end of the day, like, if a brand will be able to, like, help provide, whether it's cash, whether it's platform or something, I feel like I can do that. Like, that's what I can bring to the table,
right,
is bring the brand that makes sense for that. Because there are a lot of Chris's that are doing all this that I want them to do more, because we're going to leave this culture.
And
there you go. So we're going to leave this, we're going to leave this place in a better place for the young kids to come up and be like, oh, cool, I'm going to turn it on its head a little bit.
Yeah.
Cause that's, at the end of the day, that's what we want.
Do you find that these, cause you say kids,
Yes.
How do you stay relevant and up to speed? You know, are you doing the floss at home? Just trying to.
My daughters.
See, there you go.
So I got two daughters. They're younger, but super into like whatever they're into, just because it's really cool to see. And it's cool to kind of just file it away. They're obviously way too young to kind of necessarily be into the same stuff that I'm into. But I don't know. I think if you're young at heart and you just, I don't know, you just act accordingly. You don't act up. Like if you're like, I don't know, you're not going to see me do some dumb 25-year-old stuff.
Right.
But like, I respect all those 25-year-olds that are doing dumb stuff. Like, I will observe from the sideline and be like, yo, go ahead. But I will not be doing that. So, like, I don't know. I just enjoy watching and I enjoy observing. And then I think about, like, oh, what can I bring that's useful to them?
Right.
Because I want to see who's the next person coming up, right? That's all I want to see. Like, growing up in New York, having been able to go to some clubs, loving music, I'm so curious about who's that like next promoter that like just does stuff that's like bringing kids together, you know, like I'm super interested in that. And I just always been interested in like, who's the next kid that's just going to like bring this culture up. So, I don't know. I just like observing and I just, you know, I think if you observe, it's like, it's cool. And I'm not doing it in like a weird way. It's just like,
you know, just sitting in your car outside
like,
a park.
Yeah. Like, no, it's just like, I don't know. You're just going to things and
there's that man again.
Yeah, I know. But it's like, I'm lucky enough to have some friends that do really good stuff. So like, right. I go and I support them. And then while I'm supporting them, like there's all these kids there too. So like, I don't know. Like, it just kind of works.
I think you tapped it right. Like, the young at heart part. You know, yeah. I think in marketing speak, right, a few years ago and still, people are like, millennials, right? Like, there's, and I think there's millennials and then there's millennial minded.
Yeah.
Correct. Right. And, you know, where I may not chronologically fit the, you know, the years, I definitely like exhibit the same sort of behaviors and
for
traits.
Sure.
So, one more thing before we wind down. You're talking about the kids coming up, so we didn't get to finish. How did you go from soccer to what you're doing now?
Yeah.
That's a leap.
It was so graduated school. I was working for a DJ company, Upstairs Records, doing phone, sales on the phone.
Telemarketing? Sorry to bother you.
Yeah. No, but I wasn't doing outbound and calls. It was only incoming.
Got it.
So it was just kind of like sales reception, basically. And I don't know how this happened, but I got in the mail, I got a Fader magazine with D'Angelo and Beck on the cover. And I was like, what is this? And I was just like, my jaw dropped. I was like, I gotta be a part of this. I don't know how I'm gonna do this, but like, I gotta go work for them. So I open up the first page, the masthead, and I emailed just the email on there. Turns out I went to school and I went to school with one of the owner's friends. So I then was introduced and then I had an interview and I ended up working for Cornerstone the Fader for a long time. But what I learned from that experience is that you have a Rolodex wherever you go, right? So like, keep that Rolodex. Yeah. Like, you never know how that person is going to like maybe help you down the road or how you can help them down the road. And like that, I don't know what, but that was the trigger to like, I started in marketing and then like, I was just like, wow, keep this Rolodex. Like whoever you've talked to, just like all you have when you die is your name. So like, don't burn bridges, like have a great name within whatever like genre of scope or whatever that you work in. Have a great name.
By the way, when I die, I want to be taxidermied and put in like a John Travolta position. Yeah.
All right.
Just keep me in my living room.
Okay, cool.
Random. As we wind down, the show is called Innovation Crush. I'm curious as to what's out there that you currently have a crush on, especially as an observer of culture. It might be food. It might be a piece of tech. It might be something your daughters did. I don't know.
That's hard. You know what? Actually, no, it's actually not that hard. I'm fascinated with architecture, specifically homes, and how homes are so random. Sorry. How homes are changing. Mm. So we just did like a whole house hunt. And what I noticed was like there's a style of home now coming in that I think is going to look dated by the time our kids get older.
Wow.
That we are going through that period now looking at the dated homes. So it was just interesting seeing like how those homes once were like, oh my God, these are the new things. It's amazing. And now we're looking at these homes and I'm like, man, that's going to be dated in like 25 years. It's like fascinating to see how all these builders are building this home, this particular home, the same way. And I'm like, they're going to be in the same boat, but they're not going to care. But I was just like, the housing industry is very interesting to me and it makes no sense at all, but it's very interesting to me and how like, I don't know. It's just super, super interesting to me that.
I mean, if you can expound a little bit,
yeah.
What are the things you're seeing in these homes?
Like, so here in LA, it's like farmhouse chic, I guess, is what. So it's like wood siding, not vinyl. You have the certain look with the sconces outside that are like very farmhouse East Coast. Maybe a barn door on the garage. Like it's very, but it's like there'll be three homes on the block that look exactly the same, same color scheme, same everything.
Yeah.
You're like, you're not even in a subdivision, right? So it's just like they've obviously figured out like, oh, this is what's gonna sell,
right?
This is what people are looking for. And then when you go inside, it's the same typical kind of like ash wood floor. It's everything that every Pinterest person is like, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's the Instagram home.
100%. And it's just like, man, like, it's just interesting to see, like, in 50 years or whatever, or whenever the girls, you know, get older and want to do whatever they're going to do, like, what they're going to think.
Yeah, but I also think that's your eye as sort of a trendsetter. Like, you know, like, you never want to do things the same anyone else. So. Yeah. You know, but good eye. And then last but not least, complete this phrase for me.
Oh, boy.
Nope, that's not it. good guess, though. Now, innovation to me is
being outside the box. Just pushing the envelope on whatever it is. You know, like, if you are doing innovation A through this box, like, you've got to push outside.
Shameless plug. You didn't know this, but I wrote a book called Crushing the Box, which is like, let's get rid of the box altogether. And I was you were going to say that?
I was going to say that, but then I was like,
go ahead. You can say it. Shout me out.
No, I think it's amazing because it's just like, there really shouldn't be a box, right? Like, everyone is doing their thing. And what gravitates and what pulls you in is if that thing is good, right? Like, that's all it is. It's like, if you're going to create content and if that content is great, people will come and listen to it.
Absolutely.
And if the content isn't good, you'll know. No one's going to listen. So that's what, to me, that's what innovation is. Like, you're going to create something. You should create something that serves a purpose, serves a need that you need it for, right? It could just be for you, but like, if you do it right, people are going to be like, oh, I need that too.
Yeah.
Right? That's just the marketing then. Like, you also need that.
Right.
Right? Your friend needs that. Then their friend needs that. Then their mama needs that.
Like, and my equestrian speaker. It's going to go viral.
Maybe not. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah, so yeah, like, no. That to me is innovation. It's just like taking something and being like, I'm going to turn it on its head because I think I need it to do this for me.
Right.
That to me is innovation.
Where can people go to find you, find your work?
Oh, man.
How do we get on the list for the
I don't, Sonos Home? I don't, I'm like, no plugging of me ever. So I work at Sonos.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, basically that's like I'm doing. Hopefully you just follow what we're doing at Sonos and, you know, you'll find me.
What's the last but not least?
Yeah.
Or, oh no, last but last.
Yeah.
what's the most exciting thing you're seeing coming out of Sonos right now?
Everything that we're doing, seriously, everything that we're doing with a purpose. And it's really, really exciting to see, like, it's just rolling. The train is just going. So everything that's coming out, like, I think everyone's going to be excited about. So everyone go get Sonos.
All right. Sure. Everyone, this has been another amazing installment of Innovation Crush, and we will talk to you next time.